I will be reading James chapter 1, verse 19 through 27, to make sure, from the New American Standard. "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world." That's James chapter 1, verses 17 through 29.
So good to be here. It's been a long time coming. It's been the last time I was here, I think it was two summers ago. Mickey and I were talking about that. It was two summers ago. I said it was a summer ago that even I drove out here and I brought a lesson to you. And I called Mickey up and I begged and pleaded if I could give the invitation, because it's been 2 years. That was the last time I preached a lesson. And I thought I would have had more opportunity in Texas, but it just hasn't panned out. Anyways, but here we are in the book of James, and we're reading verses chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. James here is talking about being an effectual doer. And he compares that to being a man who looks at himself in the mirror, sees himself, maybe sees blemishes, maybe sees something wrong, maybe his hair is out of place, but then just walks away and does nothing about that. What he's comparing is that our spiritual life is the same way. We look in the mirror and we see things that we may need to be corrected and know that we need to do this, but yet we turn away and walk away from it. Doing nothing. Not being an effectual doer, but just a hearer, as James points out. You know, sometimes we think about that. When we think about what James is saying here, it's like, I can consider myself, or maybe some of us here, we have this opportunity of a lifetime that comes to us. We have the job of a lifetime. They've called us and they said, we want you to come down for an interview. We want the interview for this job. And we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for the opportunity for the job of a lifetime. And this is it. Would we get up in the morning, get ourselves ready, get ourselves dressed, go in the mirror and look and see, well, I still got shaving cream right here on my face. Or maybe I look on here and I say, I got some breakfast on my shirt. Would we turn away from that and walk away and forget the kind of man that we saw in that mirror? Or would we take the steps to make those things right, because we want this job? We want to look right. We want to be right. I looked it up in both Barnes and in Clark's commentaries. And I'm going to cut this short because it's kind of a lengthy reading. But I'm just going to talk about the part where Clark, he points out that the doctrines of God, faithfully preached, are such a mirror. He who hears cannot help discovering his own character. Being affected with his own deformity, he sorrows and purposes amendment. But when the preaching is over, the mirror is removed. And not being careful to examine the records of his salvation, the perfect law of liberty in James 1 verse 25, or not continuing to look therein, he soon forgets what manner of man he was. Or reposing some unscriptural trust in God's mercy, he reasons himself out of the necessity of repentance and amendment of life, thus deceives his own soul. He's right about that. When we hear the Word of God preached, it becomes a mirror. And sometimes I know I've sat in the audience or maybe even listened to a lesson driving in my car, and I think to myself, he's talking about me. I need to make these changes. Do I, after the preaching is over, or I turn off the radio, do I forget about that? Do I walk away from that and not take the steps to make those changes? If we do, then we need to make those changes. Let's look at a couple examples real quick of those who didn't make changes. Turn over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 19. To me, this is one of the best examples of how the preaching of God or God's doctrine was laid out right in front of him, but yet he walked away not making those changes. Turn to Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 16. We're talking about the young rich ruler. And in verse 16 it says, "And someone came to him and said, 'Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?' Then he said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said," verse 17, "And he said to him, 'Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments.' The young man said, then he said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking?' Jesus said to him, 'If you wish to be complete, go and sell what you have and give to the poor and come follow me.'" We see in verse 22, it says, "But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property." The young man asked Jesus, "What shall I do to have salvation, to enter into heaven?" Jesus told him, laid that mirror out right in front of him, told him, "This is what you need to do. You asked." The young man said, what the young man was really asking, really saying is, he said, "All these I have made, these the rule of my life. I have endeavored to obey him. Is there anything that I lack? Any new commandments to be kept? Do you, the Messiah, teach any new commandments besides those which I have learned from the law and from the Jewish teachers, which is proper for me to obey in order to be saved?" Well, we see Jesus proceeded to tell him what he needed to be perfect, to go sell and give all that he has to the poor and come follow him. But unfortunately, he didn't do that. In verse 21, as we read, "And Jesus said to him, 'If you wish to be complete, go sell everything that you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven.'" But he didn't do that. Jesus held up that perfect mirror through the preaching of God's word and told him, "This is what you need to do. Are you going to walk away, still be the same man as you were?" I hope not. Let's look at another example. Turn over, if you would, to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, we find Paul standing before Festus and King Agrippa. And in chapter 26, beginning around verse 24, it says, "While Paul was saying this in his defense, Festus said in a loud voice, 'Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you mad.' And Paul said, 'I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I utter words of sober truth. For the king knows about these matters, and I speak to him also with confidence, since I am persuaded that none of these things escaped his notice. For this has not been done in a quarter. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do.' Agrippa said to Paul, 'In a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian.' Paul said in verse 29, 'I wish to God that whether in a short or long time, not only you, but also all those who heard me this day might become such as I, except these bonds or these chains.'" All this had not been done in a corner. Paul preached his defense before Agrippa and Festus. The miracles and the wonders that were done by Christ, his crucifixion, do you think that went unnoticed to the king? King Agrippa? I doubt that. Paul, who was one of the most prominent persecutors of Christians, and his conversion and the manner of that conversion and how it took place, had to have attracted attention. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that you believe. Verse 27 of chapter 26. The Apostle Paul, through his speech, had King Agrippa looking into the mirror. But Agrippa turned from that mirror and forgot the form of man that he was. He saw right into that and said, "You almost persuade me to be a Christian. I almost cleaned that egg off my face. I almost combed my hair before that big interview." Was that what we're going to tell the man who's interviewing us for the job? You know, you got a sponsor. You know, I saw that and I almost took care of it. We would never do that. We would never do that. Turn, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning around verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. What made these brethren change? The preaching of God's Word. What did God's Word do? Hold that mirror up. You're fornicators, you're idolaters, you're drunkards. This is your life. What are you going to do? They saw that. Did they make the change? We see that they did because He said, such were some of you. They took the steps. They were effectual doers, as James points out in James 1. They weren't forgetful hearers. They heard Paul. They took those steps to make themselves right. What such were some of you. Turn back, if you would, in the Old Testament. In the book of 2 Samuel, we read about King David. And we know the story of King David in 2 Samuel, where he committed the sin with Bathsheba. 2 Samuel chapter 11, to be exact. We know that he looked upon her and he desired her and he called for her. But the other thing that he did is he not only committed sin with Bathsheba, but he had her husband, Uriah the Hittite, basically killed on the battlefield. So not only did he sin with Bathsheba, but he killed Uriah the Hittite. But if we look over in 2 Samuel chapter 12, and I'm going to go ahead and read these 14 verses that we have here, the first 14 verses. It says, "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, 'There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and his children. It would eat of his bread and drink of his cup and lie in his bosom, and was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock for his own herd, to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. Rather, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him.' Then we see that David's anger burned greatly against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. He must make restitution for the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and had no compassion.' Nathan then said to David, 'You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, it is I who anointed you king over Israel. It is I who delivered you from the hand of Saul. I also gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your care. And I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added you many more things like these. Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the sons of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you from your own household. I will even take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companion, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. Indeed, you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and under the sun.' Then David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.' And Nathan said to David, 'The Lord also has taken away your sin, and you shall not die. However, because of this deed, you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born to you shall surely die.'" Here we see Nathan basically preaching the Word of God to David, telling him what he had done. Painted that mirror in front of him, and David saw that he was the man who did this awful thing. Not this pretend story that Nathan was talking about. David saw that it was him. But David's reaction, we see, was humble. Because he said, I have sinned against the Lord. How many of us, when we hear gospel sermons from men here, like Chris and like Mickey and others, who preach the Word of God, and they strike us here and we tell ourselves, I have sinned. I need to make restitution in some way. Or I have done something that I need, or I haven't done things that as I should. And we walk away, when the preaching's over, do we walk away and forget about it? Would we walk away from the mirror right before our big interview and forget to comb our hair? Forget to trim our beard? Change the shirt that got a stain on it? I know we wouldn't, so why would we do that spiritually? What's more important, a good job or spiritual life? Eternal life. I think we know that. And finally, we look at those in the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And in verse 14, and Peter begins to preach. And with his preaching, Peter holds up a mirror to those who crucified the Lord to just see what they had done. And in verse 36 of chapter 2, Peter says, let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly what that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom ye crucified. Once seeing the reflection of their spiritual state with God and what they have done, we see in verse 37 that it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Do we not see in this section of Acts, the day of Pentecost, the beginning of the church, the first gospel sermon, Peter paints a picture as clear as glass, as if you were looking into that glass. And he painted it in such a way that the Jews saw themselves and they had guilt written all over their face. But what did they do? They were pricked in the heart. And they said, men and brethren, what must we do? They weren't forgetful hearers. They heard Peter. They did what they needed to do. They asked, what shall we do? They didn't know. Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So I ask you, have you looked in the mirror today? Have you looked in the mirror recently? What did you see? Did you see any deformities? Did you see any things that you need to make corrections? Did you need to clean something off? Change your shirt? Did you see something like maybe in your spiritual life you need to change? You need to make a correction? You need to clean that up? Don't walk away a forgetful hearer or forget what manner of persons you saw. We wouldn't forget what we looked like if we had something wrong with our physical look. So why would we walk away if we have something wrong with our spiritual look? Are you a Christian and need to make some changes? Have you confessed your faith in Christ? If you've been here and you've heard the lessons, you've heard the truth, you know that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. And He lived on this earth and He did the things that He did. He died a horrible death to pay the price for our sins so that we could live eternally with Him. You know these things. The mirror's there. You've heard them. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? James says, let's be effectual doers, not just hearers. If you have been a Christian and maybe there's something awry in your life, don't be a forgetful hearer. When the preaching ends, don't just walk away. Make a commitment to make those things right in your life and be a better Christian in God's sight. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?